In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God engages us this morning in St. Paul's greeting to the Galatians, as recorded in the fifth chapter of that epistle. Paul, an apostle, not of man, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. This is the text. We hear more and more today about the professional nature of the church's ministry. James Glass offers a popular book entitled Profession Minister. University Divinity School sponsors seminars with their law and medical school counterparts on the challenge of being a professional in contemporary society. Those of you who have begun your seminary study this summer are reminded, and you will be reminded even more in the fall, that you are now a graduate student in a professional educational institution. Those of you in the college have returned to feel this summer lured by the rubric of professional growth. And all of this discussion of our status as professionals, which is by and large most appropriate, inevitably leads to that more critical question: what makes a minister? What makes, as it were, an apostle? As our time together this summer draws rapidly to a close, that is a query all of us might possibly ponder again this morning: whether we occupy the office of the ministry or aspire to it. What makes a minister, an apostle, a professional? First of all, for St. Paul and our text, it is not from men, not what comes from within a man. No one ever becomes a minister by his own ability. God gives the ability, but by no native ability in the world, by no measure of ability, whether we have an IQ of 95 or 195, are we going to be made ministers of Christ. Not by ability, although we had better use our ability to the fullest. Nor is it by work. That is of men too. When I was in seminary, I had a professor of systematic theology who arose at 4:30 in the morning, 6 days a week, was in his study at 5, and worked continuously until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And as we say in professionalist jargon, he went places. He wrote important books. His name was tested out at conferences and seminars. He made a reputation for himself. But I'm sure that he never became a minister by hard work. To be sure, we should work, had better work, and many of us do not work diligently enough. But no one is ever going to be a minister of Jesus Christ by work. Paul, an apostle, not of men. Nor can a person be a minister by personality. There are a lot of men who use their personality in our profession. They're a good handshaker. They're good mixers at suburban cocktail parties. They're effective fundraisers, and they manage well. And again, we need a good, strong personality. In fact, the famous theoretician of preaching, Philip Brooks, once defined preaching as communicating truth through personality. But no one is ever going to be a preacher No one is ever going to be a minister by means of his personality. In the second place, if it is not of men, something within a man, is it by man? Paul answers that question also in the negative. It is not, for example, by education that we become ministers. You will find, hopefully, you already have, that at this institution, we have a faculty committed to giving you a balance between the theoretical knowledge and the historical knowledge and the practical knowledge necessary for proclaiming the biblical message in a world like the one in which we live. But no one is ever going to become a minister by his education, nor by his position. The way clergymen sometimes work to obtain a better position with a larger tariff, you would think that they would be nearer the kingdom of God if they only had a better congregation. And the way it's often justified, of course, is the plaintiff's claim that we need a sounding board. You see, I have a voice, and the professional position that I have is supposed to give me a sounding board. If only we could obtain the right kind of sounding board, the message would spread out and out and out. The peculiar thing is that God does not need a sounding board. When the Holy Spirit speaks and when the Holy Spirit acts, he creates his own sounding board. Jesus certainly didn't have one coming as he did from the despised Nazareth. Indeed, Scripture attests that many great men of God did not have sounding boards, but he spoke to them. No, not as men, not by man, but, St. Paul finally announces, by Jesus Christ. No one is ever a minister who has not come to know the reality of God's laws in Christ, and has not heard within his own life and his own spirit the summons to proclaim the gospel without which the world has no hope. An apostle by Jesus Christ, the declared love of God and the cleansing love of God. We are professionals in an age that needs to have its whole subconscious cleansed and restored to the sanity which the gospel alone can give when we know that we are right with God and with humankind. But the text continues, we are an apostle by God the Father. There's a grave danger of our seduction into a Jesus cult mentality, a mere emotional association with Jesus that does not recall that the Son of God is seen ultimately in the life and the reality of his Father. If there is anything that should cause us to shiver about this contemporary mania of American piety, which seems determined to slap the name of Jesus on everything from a bumper sticker to a blue jeans top, it is precisely that. As if the God of God, light of light, very God of very God, were but one more entrant into a crowded political primary election. The Son is never to be understood merely in terms of a man or a good body. Indeed, the fundamental message about Jesus Christ is that he is God himself, come into history. In him, God has spoken. In him, God has wept. In him, God has suffered. In him, God has conquered for our sake. In Jesus, we meet the one who made the world, who called it into being out of nothing. And there is something undignified about giving him a cure starting with a J. Like the ancient Greek philosopher Parmenides, I'm not quite sure that I understand what nothing really means. But by creation from nothing, we do understand that this world is not self-sufficient. It cannot be explained in terms of itself or anything outside of itself. But outside and beyond, as well as within, reality is not a mere thought. God is a Christian, a faithful Father, a Christianer spirit. Him we can trust, him we can love, because he is truly God. And it is by his love and his mercy and his grace that we are ministers. An apostle by God the Father, who raised him from the dead, concludes the text. It is that power that makes us ministry, the kind of power which reigned at Calvary, the power of God present where it seemed a people no God could possibly be, the power that transformed an instrument of death to an altar of salvation. You see, Paul's word to us this morning is very simple. Throughout your entire professional life, remember that by which you are a minister, Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and God the Father who raised him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.